Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Let's read it together now, please. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Father, thank you for the word of God and our opportunity to have the word of God preached. Thank you for this privilege. I pray that you'd work on our hearts and our lives today so that we'd love you more and be better Christians. God, please anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit for this task to help us. Use him today. And Father, if there's somebody in this room this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, we pray that they would trust him to forgive their sins before they leave the room today. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
You're being seated. Would you make sure your cell phone is turned off, please? Or turn to vibrate or turn to some means whereby it will not make noise during the service. We would appreciate that very much. Things are changing, aren't they? Did you ever think we would live in a day where milk would cost more than gas? Listen, did you ever think we live in a day where you see somebody with a phone in their ear all the time? Texting one another. I just started picking up the texting thing not too long ago. It's an adjustment. First of all, we're going to have a dictionary to explain text ease to us. You know what I mean? With the stuff they send you. When I first got my phone and put texting on it, I texted a preacher friend of mine, and I thought it was like, you know, keyboard. You print out everything. You know, dear Pastor Ray, this is Pastor Johnson. I mean, you're supposed to spell it all out, right? That's what I thought. And I just wanted to send him a little text to tell him and encourage him and stuff. And I said, just wanted you to know I love you, appreciate you, you're a man of God, America needs you, all this stuff. And I want you to know I'm praying for you, and God bless you. Hope you have a great day today, Brother Johnson. Pew, hit the send button. 2 seconds later, boop. I go, wow, that was fast. He sends me a text back. 2 digits. The letter U and the number 2. U2. Whenever my heart is burdened, I look at that text and it encourages me to think that he loved me enough to send me a U2. I thought that was a rock group or something. I mean, what is U2? And then they start sending you symbols. They're not even letters now, they're symbols. The colon with a half a parenthesis next to that. I know it's a smiley face. I'm up with it. Don't worry. But the first time they sent me one, I thought, what is that? And then then they send you just squares, little boxes. I don't even know what that is yet. So you're going to have to tell me after church what that's supposed to mean. So now they send you symbols. And if you can't figure it out, hand it to a 9-year-old. He can tell you what it says because we don't know what's going on. Changes, people. Things are changing. I remember as a kid, and I was a teenager, and I had my driver's license for about a year or two, and my people are all from Texas and Oklahoma and things, and my Aunt Patsy, it's Aunt, not Aunt Yankee, it's Aunt Patsy, who was a large woman. I'm standing in the front room of her house one day, and she said, Michael Ray, you got your driver's license? I said, yes, ma'am, I do. She goes, carry me down to the store. Now, I was taught to respect my elders, but I looked at my Aunt Patsy and I thought, I don't think I can get her to the door, much the store's got to be 5 miles from here, for goodness sakes. I stood there, I started to sweat, I thought, what in the world? I got to carry this woman for 5 miles down to the grocery store, and then she's going to buy a bunch of stuff, I got to carry that and Aunt Patsy back from the store. I didn't know what in the world to do. I think it was my brother's sister walked by and mumbled, she wants you to drive her to the store. I go, oh, thank God. Well, that was close. Things are changing. Yes? By the way, my Aunt Patsy never got the credit she deserved for inventing airbags. She did. The days before, you had to put seatbelts on everybody. Now to put a kid in the car, you might as well. It's like a NASCAR driver, the way they're strapped in these days. The old days, you just got in a car and went somewhere. But if you were sitting in the front seat and they hit the brakes, my Aunt Patsy was a big woman. She had this stump hanging off her arm like that. When she hit the brakes, you'd hit that arm like that. That was airbags. She never got credit for that. A lot of things unjust in this world. But there are a few things that are never going to change. You read it in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6 this morning. God said, listen now, I am God, I change not. It's said again several times in the scriptures, Hebrews 13 and verse number 7, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. James chapter 1, let me just read you the passage if I may. James 1 and verse 17, here's what it says. Listen, it says, every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God never changes. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we have a real push today in our society and across this world to reinvent God. God as you understand Him. God as you know Him. God as you make Him. That kind of stuff. We need to get very clear in our minds this morning that in an ever-changing world, that things that just don't seem to stay the same almost across the board and in many different ways, it's very important for us to understand this. God never changes. Now, if that's clear to us this morning, it'll mean a lot to us. Here's what it'll mean. In other words, it means God as to who He is never changes. God's number one primary attribute, and He has many, but one of His primary, most important attribute is holiness. Now, you can see that in the Bible in Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah had a vision of God, the Bible said, and the angels, the seraphim, gathered around the throne of God. And the Bible said those angels sang, holy, holy, holy. In Revelation chapter 4, there's another group of creatures around the throne of God, and everyone's called up that are saved to heaven. And the Bible said those creatures cry out, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. By the way, whenever someone or something is in the presence of God and they speak of God, they always speak to Him in the form of threes. That's because He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The choir sang that this morning. We believe in the Father. We believe in the Son. We believe in the Holy Spirit. That's not three gods. That's one God, three persons. You say, but Pastor Johnson, that doesn't compute with me. It doesn't make sense how God could be one God, yet three persons. Three separate persons inside one Godhead. I don't get that. It doesn't make sense to me. Okay, let me explain to you why it doesn't make sense to you. Because He's God. He's above this mind right here. You understand? If this little peanut finite mind could figure Him out, then He wouldn't be much of a God. We want them little plastic Jesus gods that you stick on the dashboard that you figure out. He's the God you understand. He's the God you make. But no, He's the God as He is. And God as to who He is does not change. And His number one attribute is holiness. Now, holiness means perfection, sinlessness. Now, that's important to understand this morning. That's why there's a cross. That's why Jesus came, God the Son, by the way, came and took upon Himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and humbled Himself even unto death, even the death of the cross, the Bible says. Why? Why did Jesus have to go to the cross and pay for sins? Because a holy God requires a payment for sin. And so He Himself sent Jesus Himself to come and be that payment for you and for me. And a holy God who never changes and never will change. You're not going to stand in front of Him someday and that holy God is going to go, okay, look, you did the best you could. You can go to heaven. Wrong. Good enough is not good enough for a holy God. You understand this morning? You have to be perfect to go to heaven. See, Pastor Johnson, we're not perfect. You figured that out, did you? Good. Okay, good. Now here's the point. The point is, since the holiness of God will not allow sin in His presence, God has to justify and make people perfect to come there. And that's what salvation is. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When you and I as sinners trust Jesus Christ, the perfect, sinless, Savior as our hope and salvation and nothing else. The moment you put your faith in Christ, God justifies you in His sight and declares you as righteous enough to go to heaven at that very moment. And that very moment lasts from that moment until you see Him. That's the holiness of God now. See, we've got this idea somehow. We're going to have people baptized this morning. Baptism doesn't save anybody. There's water in that tank, ladies and gentlemen. Water will not wash away the stain of sin. There has to be a payment for that sin. You have to pay for your sin. I have to pay for my sin. Or somebody can pay my sin in my place. Someone can be my substitute. But see, I can't do that for you, and you can't do that for me. That's why nobody's church saves them. Churches are full of a bunch of sinners, and nobody's church can save them. That will not pay for sin. Baptism won't pay for sin. Church membership won't pay for sin. Doing good from the moment you start out till you die is all right, but that won't cover what you did before that. See, He's a holy God. Now, that should cause us to understand. I must understand. He will not accept me as I am. I must be accepted on His terms, not mine. He's a holy God. Ladies and gentlemen, He is a holy God. Will not tolerate sin. It has to be paid for. You can't get it washed away by water. You cannot get it rectified and made right by a church. You cannot do it on your own, and you can't stand up and expect to talk God into letting you into heaven. You have to come to God on His terms. And now here's the other thing about a God who never changes. The same God. Now listen. The same God who, if you don't get saved, will send you to hell. Because He will. The same God also is a God of love and mercy. And He made a way so you don't have to. Here's what we think. People get offended when you say, well, God, they say, God doesn't send anyone to hell. Yes, He does. Yes, He does. He created hell. Made it for the devil and his angels, but He'll put people there. And people will go to a place of torment and suffering and spend there forever in this place, awful place called hell. That's the truth. That's what the Bible teaches. Jesus preached 14 sermons on life after death, and 13 of them were about hell. So trust me, you can make it go away by ignoring it, but it's still there. It won't change a thing. But here's the amazing thing. The same holy God who demands a payment for sin and will either make you pay it or you have to accept Christ's payment, the same holy God in love and mercy made the way so you could come to Jesus and have your sins forgiven, just like every other sinner has to. Well, that's incredible. You see, well, Pastor Johnson, I mean, what you're presenting two different sides to God. See, we don't understand Him. We don't. We don't understand that God is not just He's just one facet of God. Some people think God is a God of wrath and judgment and holiness. And He is. Listen now, and He is. But He's also a God of mercy and love and forgiveness. And oh my, how patient He is. And so He has made a way for you to come to Him. But listen now. It's not just a way, it's the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You only get to God through Jesus Christ. That's all. Now listen, please. So if you're here this morning and you've never settled this thing about salvation, maybe you have some beef with the church or religion or Christians, or I don't care what your beef is today. You got problems with people at church? Good luck. I'm a pastor. I got problems with people at church, okay? And there's people in this church who got a problem with me. It's just the way it works. But we often remind people, you don't have to accept church to go to heaven. You have to accept Christ. And Jesus is perfect. He never sinned. You come to God through Christ, you have salvation. You don't, you don't. It's that simple. Say, well, maybe down the road, I mean, I'll think of all the people that will wind up in hell. God's not going to change His mind. He's not going to do it. God, as to who He is, changes not. He said, I am God, I change not. That also means that not only is God, as to God, as to who He is, changes not, but it also means this. It means God, as to what He does, changes not either. You ever think sometimes God's not fair? You ever think sometimes, you know what, that just doesn't seem right. Why would God let that happen? You ever get the idea in your mind sometimes that maybe God made a mistake? Because we perceive some things of injustice and we think, well, then why didn't God do something about that? See, here's what's happened to us today. We've become our own little God. Because to question what he does is to believe that we know better than he does. I often tell people I work for him, but I don't always understand him. Can't always justify what God does in my sight. My reasoning, sometimes when I go to see people with their problems, I ask God, I say, Lord, you're going to have to help me to know what to say to these dear people because I have no words to speak here. And I'm not going to use the little cutesy pie cardboard statements that you hear people make sometimes. But unfortunately, a lot of those cutesy pie cardboard statements are accurate. Like, it's God's will. We just accept it. The maternity floor up here at Mercy Hospital. I see little Mary Ann back there this morning. It's maternity ward at the Mercy Hospital. Young couple just started coming to our church. She was just about ready to give birth, and they had been here just a few weeks. Family called and said she's delivering, and I went up to the maternity ward, down that hallway where they do all the deliveries and stuff, with the exception of the operating room, but there's going to be just natural childbirth in the room now. Child, perfectly healthy mom, perfectly healthy baby. Everything's looking good. You know, the relatives are gathering, grandmas, grandpas, aunts, uncles. And I went down, they put there's one room at the end of the hallway. It's where they put all the trouble cases, the things that happen, and deaths at birth. Past all the rooms where everybody was all excited with the balloons and the pictures and the flowers, and I saw that room at the end of the hallway with the door closed. And when the nurse told me that's the room, I thought, uh-oh. And as I walked toward that door, I said, now, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to tell this young couple if I know what's happened has happened here. And it's true, the baby died in birth. They never did understand. The doctors could not give any explanation. No problem with the mom and no problem with the baby. The baby just died at birth. And nobody in that room, the family wasn't in there, it was just this young couple. And she was sitting there with her baby wrapped up in the cloths and things. Curtains were drawn. And both of them obviously were heartbroken. And I thought to myself, dear God in heaven, what am I going to say? I have no idea what to tell them. You know, people make such foolish statements. Well, God needed a little angel in heaven. People, that's not what angels. Angels are created beings. They don't become angels. They do go to heaven, by the way. Oh, yes. And I sat with that young couple and prayed with them and tried to encourage them the very best I could. When I walked out of there, I thought, phew, I don't understand that one, Lord. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Move it up about 25 years. And not only as a pastor, but as a grandfather. Stood in the same room. Held our grandbaby that died at birth. Still didn't make any sense. See, Pastor Johnson, you're not encouraging me, this thing about God who changes not as to what he does. Now you listen to me. You listen to this preacher this morning. I don't always understand what he does. As an old preacher said, you can't always trace God, but you can always trust him. There's something that happens in our heart and in our lives when we come to a God who changes not as to what he does. Whether it's disease that afflicts us or a loved one, whether it's a reversal in the home or the family, whether it's a loss of a job or financial problems or whatever it may be. When you come to things for which there is no answer, the worst thing you can do is question God and get mad at God. And doubt God and feel like God doesn't do what's right or what's just. God always does what's right. You say, well, that sounds good at church. It does. It sounds different in a hospital. It looks different standing next to a little coffin about that big in a gravesite. It's different in different places as it looks, but it hasn't changed anything. Because here's the truth of the matter. What God does, ladies and gentlemen, is best for each of us and all of us collectively. Now, that's what we can't figure out. We can only see our part in it. We don't understand why this one got sick, or we don't understand why we did, or we don't understand why we lost the job. We don't understand why we're having these battles. We see it in relationship to our own little limited view of how things are in this world. And oh my, how many people today have such a limited view of life. They just see their little acre and their little situation, and they think, well, how? I don't care if it affects anybody else, but it does. And God only does what's right and best for you and everybody else involved and everyone else encompassing it all for your life, for your generation, for the next generation, and on down the road. God is what he does, changes not. Listen now, it's just better for you and me to come to the place where we just let him be God. And if you don't get answers, it's okay, because he's God. He gets to do that. And he loves us and he cares for us. And he does what's best and what's right. And I guarantee you this, my friend, it'll do nothing but shrivel up your soul and torment your heart and your mind and turn you into a bitter container today. And you get mad at God and hold the things against him because you don't accept what he does. So that's easy preaching, Pastor Johnson. It sure is. It's hard practicing. But until the day comes, you yield to the fact that he's God and he can do whatever he wants. It's never going to go well for you. But there's something, listen, please listen. But there's something very satisfying and gratifying in letting him be God and you be his child. Is that what it is for you this morning? Then you're not really a child of God, is it? You never come to Christ and accepted him. See, it's hard to accept God as your father until you're part of the family. You need to get born again. And then come to that place where you understand God never takes us where he doesn't lead us. Listen, he's too loving to be unkind and too wise to make a mistake. He won't take you somewhere that you shouldn't go and that you ought not to go. God, as to what he does not change. And God, as to what he will do, doesn't change either. You say, well, we don't know the future, Pastor Johnson. See, that's it now. Look at me. That's it. We don't know the future, do we? Listen, now, we're in the moment right here. It's 5 minutes to 12 if you're a clock watcher. And you know this is a Baptist church. I got to be done in about 5 minutes. I won't be, but I got to be. Okay, I just want to know. I saw that. I was hoping for it. Another hour and a half, we'll be out of here. Yeah, amen. One guy just woke up. Thank you. Here we go. But all I can see is this moment right here. I can relive what happened this morning and this week. I have no idea about today. I don't know what's going to happen at 1 o'clock. Do you? Oh yeah, I'm going to do so and so, so and so. You walk out, look at me. You walk out of this building, get in your car, run a stop sign. Someone runs a stop sign like it happened there just a few months ago, and you're pushed out into forever. You don't know what 1 o'clock is. Oh, but now he does, doesn't he? Oh, yes. The old expression, we don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. God, as to what he will do, does not change. We do know this. We have an accurate written record of what he said, he has done, and more importantly, what he will do. Amazing, this book right here, this Bible. You see what's going on over in the Ukraine right now today? You see the bear, Russia, raising its head. You understand this is not about politics. This is about an alignment that comes against the nation of Israel. And now Israel, they're getting one step closer to taking their hand against the nation of Israel. Now Israel has completely surrounded by enemies, and the Russian bear has raised its head, is gaining political power and monetary force. The president of Russia just thumbed his nose at our president. Just laughed at him. Just going to do whatever he wants to do. And they can talk all they want to do. And he just went ahead and did whatever he felt like. That's the rise of the bear. That's prophecy in Ezekiel. That's prophecy in the Word of God. All that is just things shaping up for last days now. Everything that's prophesied that will take place, according to this book, that is supposed to, has, and that is that will take place, will take place. My friend, I don't know where you stand this morning. I look at the news and I think, man, it's time to get your flying suit on. Jesus is coming very, very soon. This world is now all shaped and formed and brought together. No child of God should look at news and let the news tell them what's happening. Look at the good news and know what this book says is taking place. God will keep all of His prophecies. And then in this great book we have in our hands, the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, we have literally hundreds, yea, thousands of promises made. He made promises to Abraham and his descendants. That's what Israel is all about. America is wise to say friends with Israel. God put a promise upon those who do and a curse upon those who do not. We better stand behind that little beloved nation, because God is going to keep His promises. And He's going to keep His promises not only to Israel and everybody else, but if He's made you a promise, He'll keep that promise. By the way, that's why you have salvation that's secure. Once you accept Christ as your Savior, He saves you, seals you, and keeps you in that same saved condition, because He promised that. The Bible says, kept by the power of God, ready to be revealed at the last time. The Bible says, when we receive Christ as our Savior, we're sealed until the day of redemption. That means salvation is permanent, because God promises it. My actions cannot change the promises of God in that relationship. Oh yeah, I know what He's going to do. He's going to fulfill all His prophecies. He's going to keep every one of His promises. And also this morning, He's going to honor every precept that's in this book. You know when the Bible tells you to do something, and you by faith have to step out to honor that, God blesses that, because He's going to keep His word. He's going to honor us when we do what the Bible says. So here we live in 2014. We live in a day and an age today where every man is doing that which is right in his own eyes. There seems to be no standard for life and living among many people today. Most are living by the moment in the situation. If this I do right, as long as this is there, but if I don't, then I don't have to. That's situational ethics. No, that's not what the Bible teaches. We have a commandment, a teaching, an instruction, a light that lights our path and illuminates our way and tells us exactly what to do. And we'll honor that no matter what anyone else does. We do what the Bible tells us to do. We do what the Bible says concerning our marriages, our families, our churches, our Christian life. We live for God. We're salt in this world. We're light on the hill. We do what the Bible says. God blesses that. I know what He's going to do. He's going to honor this book. And if I will honor this book, God will bless me in my life. And as to God, as to what He will do, He doesn't change. You say, well, Pastor Johnson, some of those things don't fit too well in our society today. Well, that's because society's turned around. We are not concerned about that. I refuse to be as confused as a termite in a yo-yo. I'm going to get myself attached to this world and then wonder why I can't figure anything out. Well, it's because you're letting the world tell you how to think. Let the Bible tell you how to think. Clears everything up. Doesn't make it easy, but it does make it simple. And it does make it clear. And His word then becomes a lamp to my feet and a light into my path. While others stumble in darkness, I have an illuminated path that shows me where I'm going, what I'm supposed to do, and what God is going to do in my life. It's all done, you know. Hey, Christian, friend. God said, I am God. I change not. Now, if you're waiting for God to change His mind, forget it. One last thing and we'll finish. That's why a biblical church that follows the principles of the Bible shouldn't be changing either. This first Sunday in August of this year, Shasta Baptist Church will be 31 years old. 31 years ago, my wife and I and three kids went over in a Grange Hall building on Airport Road and started a church. No land, no building, no people, no money, nothing. 31 years ago, we started out to do one thing. Have a church that taught and preached the Word of God and lifted up Jesus Christ. And followed the principles of what a biblical church should be and do in every respect. We're in a building, ladies and gentlemen, we're in a building where we had a little closet. And in the little closet, we'd put our pulpit and a little PA system and a portable crib that we had in the kitchen for the nursery. And every Sunday we'd come out of the closet. That sounds funny, doesn't it? But we did. And we set it up every Sunday, and I'd sweep the floors and scrub the toilets and get all the cigarette butts off the sidewalk out in the front and set up a sandwich board sign. And that's the way we started. Now it looks a little different now than then. But we're still preaching the same book. Same book. Same message. Same gospel. Same Jesus. Same music. Same everything else. 31 years later. Well, Pastor Johnson, you got to get up with the times. No, you got to get out of the times and get caught up with the Word of God. Our philosophy here is if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So don't expect to come here and see a worship dance team floating across the platform and just think, turn into a nightclub. We're not going to do that. You know why? Because God's Word doesn't change. God doesn't change. And we ain't changing either. That's just how it is. It's going to rise or fall on the authority of the God of heaven and that book. And we're glad to say today, and in an ever-changing day, we have a never-changing God. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.